All right, Matt Schick, ESPN UF.
Kind of hungry for a snack. How about some cheese nips?
Matt Schick, ESPN UF.
You go shirtless, that baby will latch.
This game better have an STD from this guy.
Matt Schick, ESPN UF.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. This is a sporting event. Did he just say onions?
Happy Friday, Matt.
You're talking about whether or not you want to go north of Ecuador?
But who's this?
I am a huge Lubbock guy.
Well, the second this date got circled as the final date, first thing I thought about was I got to get this guy on because the guy that I graced the 1620 of the Zone airwaves first with has got to be the guy that I got to ride off into the sunset with, and that's Matthew Richard Schick. Schicky, the best part about today is all the phone calls I've gotten, and people are like, I love Schick and Nick. I love Schick and Nick. it's just that show still resonates with people, dude. It's great.
It's unbelievable. You're leaving? You know, this could have been a lot easier had you just announced it last week because I was in studio.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, this should be about me. Not
that's
about
true. I didn't take that into consideration.
No, but you're right. It's, you know, there are worse things to, it would be bad if like we just didn't like that show and we didn't like each other.
Right.
And people keep bringing it up. You know, then you're like, oh, jeez.
Enough, man, you know, right. But like, I got to believe Jaleel White when people go up to him and be like, hey, Urkel, hey, got any cheese? Did I do that? It's like, oh, my God. I swear to God, I'm going to punch you in the face. But that's exactly. Not like it is. That's not how it is for us.
No. And if you're going to be, if we're going to be typecast or associated with something, then it might as well be something that we enjoy doing and we're sad to let go.
Right.
I mean, you know, what was it? 7 years ago this month.
Yep.
Essentially, 7 years ago this month, we were done. It was about 7 years ago, 2 months ago, when we actually found out we were done. So we got to hang up.
I don't think that's why I didn't want to, you know, because you talked to me last week, like, why haven't you announced it? You should have not. And I'm like, I think I was scarred from our enormously long, drawn out goodbye that I was like, I can't handle another emotional goodbye. You know, I need to like minimize it here.
We had our goodbye. Like we went into like a Thursday show saying tomorrow's our goodbye. And then we were live at Quarry Oaks that day and Sue was there. We never even talked about us being done. And at the end of the show, we just said, see you next week. And people are texting in like, that's it? Like, wait, are you back? And we wound up going like another month or so because they just needed us to stay on because you'll be shocked to know sometimes it's hard to find warm bodies who can talk into microphones. But, so, but yeah, it was an odd goodbye.
You know, that is an understatement.
And now 7 years later, you're saying goodbye, which is tough because – you know, anytime some big news happens, we all think about how does it impact me, right? Mm-hmm. Like, listeners are, oh, there goes my, you know, afternoons or my drive home or my commute, whatever it is. And with me, it's like, this is kind of my conduit back to Omaha, mm-hmm. you know, back to Nebraska, be it on this show. And now that that's over, you know, feel like I'm kind of cutting the cord a little bit more. Right. For a guy who works for ESPN, I don't like people cutting cords.
No, you do not.
but it's been good. It's been great. And I mean, I got a lot to say, but I'm going to let you kind of just go where you want
to
go.
I don't even know where to go. I mean, I was texting you this morning. I was like, do people want sports takes? Do people like, because you never want to, I never want to assume people care and I never want to be self-serving. But at the end of the day, you spend 10 years somewhere. You got a lot of, I mean, this has been an emotional, I thought it would be hard, Matt, but this has been a way harder couple of days. And even today has been way harder than I anticipated. And I really the origin of all that starts with you back in 2009, when I think about all the things that we began with. And I was writing down some thoughts with you. And I think like one of the greatest gifts you ever gave me was you gave me the green light to be myself on the air. And a lot of people aren't given that or don't feel comfortable to do that. You cultivated a situation where I could totally be myself which then kind of helped build my confidence up. And without you, I honestly don't think I would have been able to continue to even relatively survive without you, you know, because you were able to allow me to be me, which is just so cool.
Well, I remember when we were doing our audition shows, and they weren't like auditions, like, are you going to do this show? It was like auditions. Let's see how bad the show we've already signed off on is going to be. They'd already greenlit it. And we're sitting in the other studio taping shows and, you know, not getting callers because it was taped. And so we're just kind of ripping and doing what we're going to do. Nothing pre-produced. It was just you and me talking. And I remember, like, I'd say a couple things, maybe you'd laugh or something. And I remember Neil walking in and just talking about, hey, let's, you know, we just need to minimize that a little bit.
Yeah.
And when someone says to Nick, we need to minimize the laughing, like, you've already reached a roadblock for what the show.
It's like telling normal people, like, just breathing. Yeah. Breathing, can you just not breathe?
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Seinfeld, could you just not try to be funny? Could you just play it straight?
Right.
And so it was about, after a couple auditions, when you and I talked, and I remember just saying out loud, just do it.
Yeah.
Just whatever you're going to do it. Just laugh. Don't stifle it. Like, and I'm the kind of guy that I need instant reaction anyway. Like, right. If I say something that's remotely funny, I would like someone to respond to that.
Yeah.
And if I have a co-host, let's do that. Like, I'm on ESPN Radio on Sunday mornings, a cheap plug. And, you know, one of my favorite parts is when Myron Metcalf is laughing. You know, and it's trying to stifle it, but he's laughing. It reminds me, you know, I've tried very hard to recreate the chemistry you and I had with every show that I've done.
Yeah.
And it's impossible.
It is.
You just can't do it. And it happened. The thing about it with you and me is that it happened so quickly that, you know, the first couple of weeks were a struggle, kind of feeling each other out.
That's every show,
do?
You know?
It's every,
like, yeah.
You know, sometimes it's 6 months, sometimes it's 6 weeks. For us, maybe it took a couple weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually we found our footing, and the chemistry just came very quickly, surprisingly quickly. And it was, you know, the show just kind of ran itself eventually.
No doubt. Yeah.
It was just kind of plug and play with you and me, and it was something that I am as proud today about what you and I accomplished as I was when I left, and probably even more so because it still stood the test of time. I mean, we were on the air for 3 years, and you would think it was 10 years.
Right.
And in some and by some extensions, it has been 10 years since you've been hosting, and I've been able to be on with you once a week.
Well, and you bring up that word proud, and I think that was something I was thinking about earlier, too, of like, what you do doesn't have to be who you are, you know what I mean? But at the same time, if you don't have some pride in what you do, life can be hard. And I think one of the things that maybe you didn't realize, and I maybe voiced it to you, was like early on with Schick and Nick, I was struggling a little bit with like, who am I? You know, like an identity for not necessarily who I am in terms of like how I'm, you know, how I treat people and whatnot. But like, I was having a hard time of letting go of Nick Baugh, the basketball player, right? And the one thing that Schick and Nick gave me, and then 1620 gave me, and then Game Time has given me, is a sense of an identity which has brought about pride. And I think that is something that is just, I'm so thankful that I found something to do. I found someone like you to be able to fulfill that side of me, because it was empty, to be honest with you, when I first crossed paths with you and we were doing shows in the studio. And, you know, you're a guy that should be so dang proud of everything that you've done. But I just, Schick and Nick to this day, it's an identity. It's a pride thing. And I think that's just, it's so cool that was able to happen.
And whenever you and I are together again, it's like riding a bike. You just fall right back into it. That's why a couple years ago when I showed up, you just said, you're going to host.
I'm just
going to sit here and do what I normally do. And we just did the show and it was great. And you talked about when we first crossed paths. This is like, people don't understand like kind of the genesis of our relationship, because it wasn't like they just put us together and that was the first time we'd met and let's just see if this works. And I don't even know if you know this. This was like back in 02 or 03. So you were either a junior or senior in high school. I'm working in central Nebraska at NTV in Kearney. And I'd go visit my girlfriend, now wife, Kelly, in Lincoln, and her family and her family's friends were going to go watch Lincoln Southeast play. And we got there, and Kelly's like, hey, there's Nick Baugh. He's one of the best players in the state, blah, blah, blah. I was like, whatevs.
Yes, loser.
But, you know, watched you play. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And then 4 or 5 years later, I'm at KETV in Omaha. You transferred back to Creighton from KU, and you were sitting out that year. And Creighton's off to a good start, and I was kind of trying to do fun stories, and I did a story about how you were the MVP on the team, because when you were on the bench, they were like, what, 12 games above 500?
Yeah.
And when you played, they were merely a 500 team, 0-0. And we did this story. It was totally scripted, you and me, and it was really the first time you and I had genuinely interacted.
Right.
And we were reading lines back and forth and like acting, and we were making each other laugh.
Yes.
And breaking character. And I remember thinking, not only is this story going to be funny because of Nick, but I feel like I've known this guy for years.
Right.
And then you fast forward to 09, and I'd been approached by Neil Nelken a couple of other times about doing a morning show. It just didn't work with the schedule. But then I was thinking about leaving TV because I'd hit kind of a wall, like kind of how you are right now. Like you're just ready to do something else.
Yeah.
And I remember calling Neil in June or July of 09 and telling him, I think I'd like to do a show if you'll still have me, if you're still interested. And, you know, within 2 weeks, this show was launched, or at least was set in stone. And he said, I've got someone in mind, and I knew it was going to be you. And,
yeah.
Because I knew you had been involved with sales at 1620.
Yep,
and you told me it was you. And then you and I meet at the Dundee Dell. We had lunch, talked about the show, different ideas. How about Mondays with Mamie? You're like, what the heck are you talking about? Like, that's so stupid. And I remember leaving that meeting going, I think this will be okay. I'm just concerned I'm going to be the one generating all the ideas and doing all the work.
You think?
Which wound up being correct.
I was going to say, totally accurate, by the way.
But then the first, like we talked about, the first couple weeks were tough, but then we found it. And, you know, I've thought about this a lot, and the fact that, you know, our show ended, but our relationship has been good. And a lot of that is attributed to you. But once our GM at the time decided he wanted to blow it up, you know, we had 2 months together knowing it was over.
Mm-hmm.
And those were some of the most bittersweet days that I've had professionally, knowing that every laugh we had that was one less laugh we were going to have. And, you know, had our boss at that time, though, not ended our show, there's a good chance you and I would still be doing that show.
Oh, no question.
But and that would be awesome. But also things happen for a reason. And had we both been doing the show, we might not have grown as much professionally. You know, I know I wouldn't be where I am. You might not be doing national TV.
Nope.
You just never know.
No.
And you know, when I left, you started making things happen for yourself, and you did something that was very hard to do. You had to make your own name. You found your voice on our show,
yeah.
But you still had to make, you still had to find your own name, which you did, and build your own brand. And you did it at the same station without our show. And that is really hard to do. When you announced you were going to come on to 1620 and have your own show, I was like, okay, this is, you know, people are still going to associate you with us.
It always, you know? Yes. I fought that all the time. Everything was compared to Schick and Nick.
Yeah. And the one concern I had was that I didn't want it to hold you back. I didn't want people to have different expectations about who you would be. And look now, I mean, you announced you're leaving on 1620. And yeah, there's some people with Schick and Nick stuff mentioned on our show, but it's about you. And it's because you took that market, you connected with the community in a way many people can't. You hammered a solo show, which, by the way, nobody does. Nobody does solo shows, especially for as long as you did. And, you know, when we worked together, it was you and me, and I knew I could say something, make you laugh. You'd make a mistake while talking, and we'd play it back and fill an hour with it. Doing your own show is hard.
Yeah.
And you've done it. You've made it your own. And I'm proud of you. I mean, you have done it. You know, you've done it yourself. Everyone gets help along the way. Everyone gets an assistance. Everyone networks and meets somebody that helps them. But at some point, you have to do it yourself. And since you've been hosting Game Time, you've done it. And it's been awesome to come on with you every week.
Yeah.
And You know, now we'll just have to live, you know, through texts and
textual relations
in the future. But, you know, we got plenty of time to get all sappy and stuff. But I'm just, you know, happy for you, proud of you. And I know you got to hit a break, but frankly, I don't care.
Frankly, darling, I don't give a damn about your break. Yeah, no, it's funny you bring up, I mean, because I remember when that, for those, the months when the show was ending, there'd be times I'd be driving home and I'd just like burst into tears. Like, I would just burst into tears just because when you love something, what you love something so much, it's like it's supposed to hurt. You know, it would, like, if you just leave a job and you're like, whatever, I mean, then I don't know how much you loved what you were doing. And it, like, it hurt. And but what's funny is you bring up, like, I don't think I've ever told you this, but when I first started Game Time, there was a part of me that, when I was getting so many emails and getting so many tweets and getting feedback, oh, it's not Chicken Nick. He needs Chicken. Like, there was a part of me that somebody was like, do I need to stop bringing Chick on? Because it'll always just create, like, I'm creating that at comparison every week.
Right.
And I thought, I literally was like, is that a thought? Like, maybe I need to just try to say, hey man, I need to try to do this on my own. But then I thought, nah, I like this guy way too much. Then my love for you superseded that. And I'm so glad I didn't, because I think that would have been the easy way out. You know, like, it would have been the easy way out to be like, no, I need to just disassociate myself from Chick or some stupid thing like that. And so I did struggle with that, where it was, you know, people, it always brought about the comparison. Well, it's Nick, but without Chick, and without Chick, Nick sucks, you know, and like, and there was a lot of that. And but I'm so glad that I continue to bring you to not take the easy way out and keep talking to you.
Well, and I appreciate that. And let's be honest, keeping me on was the easy way out because I fill an hour a week.
Amen. That's the dirty little thing. I'm like, when I pro-conned, I was like, bro, he fills an hour. Well, that pro's worth about 10 cons, so where he's staying, you know.
And also, no, but you think about it, it's like, like when you and I are on the air together, it's just fun. And
yes,
it's different than your show, and that's fine, but it's fun. And it's, I mean, I can remember leaving our station on a daily basis and knowing I don't have to go to the gym because my body hurts from laughing for 2 or 3 hours. There were times I'd leave going, I can't believe we are getting paid to do this.
Yes.
I can't believe we're having this much fun. And our gauge was always, if we're having fun, then there's got to be at least a handful of people out there having fun.
Right.
And when our show ended, we had callers in tears. We had, on that final day, we had emails that I hundreds of emails that I printed out, and
yep,
I made sure I made copies and I put them on our then GM's desk the day that I left. And the note on there said, whatever show you have next, I hope the reaction when that show ends is like it was when our show ended with Nick and me. And that's all the note said. And I believe the next pairing lasted 8 weeks. But the point being, like, you get this emotional connection with people that you don't understand you have until it's done.
Right.
Until people realize, okay, now I'm going to be without this thing. Maybe they took it for granted. Maybe you took your listeners for granted. But my point to you this morning when we were kind of texting back and forth about your show today was that we had that connection over 3 years. Imagine what you've built over 10.
Right.
You know, people have based their, even if they don't know it, they've built their days around you, those who listen to you consistently. And that's a powerful thing. You're a part of people's family without knowing it. And that's one of the great things about radio, and the great connections you can have with people is you can talk to and with people every day that you'll never meet.
Right.
And you may not know till you die the great impact that you have. It's been tremendous.
Amen. Matt Chick. Chicky, stay right there because we got to hit a break. On the other side, pretty cool. My GM, Mark Schlechterly, wants to come in and say a few words. He's probably going to fire me on the spot, which would be nice. Like, you almost made it. But
I'll take over the last half hour.
Chick, if I get fired, can you carry it till 2?
I'll see what I can do.
Okay. All right. So if I get fired by my GM on the other side, Chick's going to carry it till 2. It's going to be great. Game Time.